We have been doing a study on the six typical men is found in the book of Romans. So far, we've looked at number one, the guilty man, number two, the justified man, number three, the identified man. And today we want to begin and look at number four, the wretched man. The wretched man. And for that, we need to turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 7. And we'll read together that passage, verses 15 through 25. And this is what the Word of God has to say. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would that do I not, but what I hate that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So what we see here in the passage, we see the struggle of a soul save. It's a classic conflict, my friends. The flesh, the wretched man, the old nature, versus the spirit, the new man, the new nature. And what we have here is the conflict between the part of us that has been born of man, the flesh, versus the part that has been born again of the Spirit of God. I want us to look first in John chapter 1. We're going to see where the Word of God speaks of this. Amen. In John chapter 1, if you would. John chapter 1. And we want to look at verses 12 and 13 together. Notice what the words of God have to say here in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. The Word of God has this to say. But as many as received him, the him here, of course, is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we see here that as many as received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, in return he gave them powers to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now here in verse 13, listen to what it says. Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So we see here then, those that received Jesus Christ, that he gave power to become the sons of God, to those that believed on his name. They were not born of blood. They were not born of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but they've been born of God. Amen and amen. And then we see Jesus talking to Nicodemus over in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Notice what Jesus says to Nicodemus here. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit," capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh." There's the fleshly birth. "That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Amen. Now, turning back to our passage, Romans chapter 7, in verse 15, we see definitely the two I's, capital I's here, in this section. See, let's look in verse 15. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." The first I is the old nature, as he asserts his rights. See? We read, "For what I would," in other words, what the new nature wants to do, then it says, "That do I not." We see the old nature rebels and won't do it. Then it says, "But what I hate." The new nature hates it. "That do I." That means the old nature goes right ahead and does it. My friends, if you've been a Christian for any period of time, you've experienced a struggle. You have done something that you hate yourself for doing, and you feel like you've greatly failed God. Now, Paul is speaking of his own experience in the passage. It appears there were three periods that Paul went through in his life. Number one, as a proud Pharisee under the Mosaic law, kidding himself by believing that because he brought sacrifices and met all the requirements of the law and tradition, that this made him right with God. All the while the law was condemning him. Paul writes, "The law was given to show the man that man was a sinner and couldn't keep the law." Now, the second period in Paul's life is Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. And he realized that being a Pharisee couldn't count for absolutely nothing because he didn't have Christ. And he talks about this in his letter to the Philippians, and in the book of Philippians, if we turn there together in chapter number 3, notice what Paul says about himself, beginning in verse 4 down to verse 11. The Word of God says this: "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." See? He's saying, "I had confidence in my flesh more than any other man. And I had cause to have confidence in the flesh," and he gives us the reason why. "Circumcised the eighth day." We know that that all Hebrew children, Jewish children, to be circumcised the eighth day after their birth. He says, "Circumcised the eighth day," he's got that covered, "of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee." Amen? He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." They didn't mean anything. Why? Because he didn't have Christ. "Yet doubtless, and I count all things but a loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung." That's a strong word. that I may win Christ. And he found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Amen and amen. Verse 10. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Verse 11. In if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You see, this proud young Pharisee turned to Christ as his Savior. However, he still felt he could live the Christian life. His new nature said, I'm now going to live for God. Amen. Notice Paul's attitude at the beginning of his ministry. Look with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice what he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse number 5 with me. 2 Corinthians 11:5, he says, "For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles." Whit, just a jot, good as other apostles. But notice at the end of his ministry what he has to say. If we turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 15, notice what he says. Notice the change. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." You see, Paul, at the beginning of his ministry, tried to do it in the flesh. Amen. Now, the third period of Paul's life, he realized. What did he realize? He could not live it. He had to allow Christ to live it in him by yielding, presenting himself, and letting the Spirit of God live the Christian life through him. Notice what he wrote over in Galatians chapter 2 with me. In Galatians chapter 2, in verse number 20, the Word of God says this, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." It's not I, it's not the flesh, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, Paul is like a lot of Christians. He got saved later on in life, and he wanted to make up for lost time. See, his attitude was, "I'm going to do great things for God." But he goes out in the arm of the flesh and fails miserably. But hopefully, like Paul, we've learned that we can't do it. Christ has to do it. We can't live it. That's why we had to get saved in the first place. We have to allow Christ to live it for us and through us. Amen? Now, we can be used of God when we realize as Paul did. Notice something. Notice what Paul realized. In 2 Corinthians, if we turn there, in chapter number 12, in verses 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. And of course, this is a passage where Paul has a thorn in the flesh. Prays three times to God for God to take it away. Now, in verses 9 and 10, in verse 9, Paul gets his answer from the Lord. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See? He says, the key, amen, is verse 9, I'd rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And verse 10, for when I am weak, then I am strong. See, when that flesh is weak, then spiritually you are strong. Christ can use you because the flesh is not in the way. Amen? Now we go back to Romans chapter 7, verse 16. The Word of God says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. When the old nature breaks the law, then the new nature agrees with the law that the old nature was wrong for breaking the law. Paul was not fighting the law because he broke it. He was agreeing as a believer that the law was good. Looking in verse 17 of Romans 7. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Paul's saying it's no longer I, the new nature that breaks the law, but it's the old nature, sin, living in me. Verse 18, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Paul learned two things from his struggle. In the old nature, in the flesh, dwelleth no good thing. See, sometimes Christians feel in the flesh they can do something that pleases God. But notice Romans chapter 8 verse 8, what the Word of God has to say about that. So then they that are in the flesh, here it is, cannot please God. So whatever you do in the flesh for God, or you think you're doing for God, is not pleasing to God. Amen? And amen to that. See? Also notice, if we go to the Gospel of John chapter 6, what Jesus said about the flesh. Right, this is the chapter where he gives that great sermon about he being the bread of life, and those that wanted to have eternal life were to partake of his body and blood. Now, notice what he says in John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. That word quickeneth means made alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. And then he goes on to say, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. See? They're spirit. They're not of flesh. And they are life. See? So when you talk to someone in the flesh, amen, about Jesus Christ, those are fleshly words. They're not spirit. They're not life. Paul says how to serve God, if we turn to Romans chapter 1 and verse 9, the Word of God says this, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit, and the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. See, we're to serve God in the Spirit. You see, a lot of times, Christians get busy as bees, but they aren't making honey. Amen? They have canceled out Christ, not allowing him to do it, but again trying to do it in the flesh. Forgetting what the Apostle Paul said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Amen. Paul said at the judgment seat of Christ, the Christian's work would be judged on what sort it is. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, amen, in verse 13 we read, Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. In other words, what was the motivation? If it's done in the flesh, it will go up in smoke at the judgment seat. Anything you and I do in the flesh, God hates. But praise the Lord, that part of the believer that is born of God, the Spirit, cannot sin. Look in the first epistle of John with me. First epistle of John. And we want chapter 3 of the first epistle of John in verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, this doesn't say because you're saved you don't sin, because we know there's part of us that does, amen, the old man, the old nature, the flesh, but there's part of us that can't sin. The part that's been born of God is sinless. You see, when we sin, it is the old nature, the flesh, that sins. The new nature can't. It's the new nature that tells the old nature, you're wrong. You need to get right with God, amen. Now, the second thing we see that Paul learned, he says, for will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. You see, Paul learned, in a physical sense, he couldn't learn to do good, but in a spiritual sense, he could. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 for a moment. Philippians chapter 2. And once you get to Philippians chapter 2, let's look at verse 13 together. Philippians 2, verse 13, the Word of God has to say this. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you want to do that which is right, God will give you a measure of success in victory depending upon how much you yield to his will. See? Again, it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So, the more you're yielded to God, the more you yielded to the Holy Spirit of God that indwells you, you see, the more you'll be successful for Christ. Amen? It's almost like a formula if you think about it. The more you're yielded to Christ, to the Holy Spirit, the more God will be able to use you. See, that's why Paul was able to say, I glory in the flesh. I don't glory in the flesh. Amen. I glory in my infirmities. Why? Because infirmities keep your flesh down. See? When your flesh is put under and the Holy Spirit comes to the forefront, then God can use you. So, Paul realized that that thorn in the flesh was given away to keep him humble. So maybe God has given you or given I something to keep us humble. And we should praise the Lord for them. Because we know that God will be able to use us. Amen. Now, going back to Romans chapter 7, and I want us to look at verses 19 through 25. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Verse 24, he says, O wretched man that I am. You see, we see the wretched man is identified in each of us. It is the old man, the flesh, the part of us that's not saved. See, the thing we have to realize, you and I, is there's no good thing in that flesh. And why you and I must yield to the Spirit of God. Notice with me how Paul describes that flesh in Philippians chapter 3, in verse number 21. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, Paul is talking to the believers at Philippi, and he's talking to you and I today. And he says, who? And he's talking about when the Lord comes for you and I at the rapture. And he says, who? Meaning Jesus Christ, shall change our, now notice how he calls our bodies, vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We're wretched, our flesh is wretched, it's vile, it's wicked. See? Although it'll try to tell you anything, it's anything but. See? But once we realize that, amen, just what our flesh is, just what our flesh is capable of, amen. And as I think about that, about the wicked flesh, we're told here in Galatians chapter 5, now the work of the flesh in verse 19 are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revilings, in such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are the things that our unsaved flesh are capable of doing. Amen. So we need to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh.